is that there is an idea in this world that a person can actually achieve what's called Ruach HaKodesh. There's an ability to get to a level of what's called to be able to have a spirit and divine understanding in the world. It's not prophecy. Prophecy is the idea of where you have a direct connection with Hashem, and in essence, your free will is gone. What Hashem says to you is what comes out, and that's the reality. This is different. This is actually, according to most commentaries, it's the lowest rung of that. Meaning, in essence, it's not that what you're saying is coming as a direct connection to Hashem and you have no choice, you have no free will. Rather, it's a breakthrough in understanding life. It's a breakthrough in understanding life to such a depth that you start to understand things that are going around you in a clarity that you actually are able to see and hear and understand things which other people can't. Meaning, you can actually go into understanding potential future events. You can go into understanding while people are sitting across from you what's happening in their own minds, and being able to get a deeper understanding of people, life, and even, quote unquote, the future. Without prophecy. That's not prophecy. Right? That is possible even today. Right? I want to give a few examples, and then we're going to go into how does a person really get to such a level. And there will definitely be a benefit, hopefully, for every single one of us to understand, even in our lives, and what we can accomplish and what we can do. So first, let's start with this, with the example. This was videotaped exactly a year ago. People sitting around, can everyone see? Mm-hmm. Be like, Price is Right or Wheel of Fortune, right? Vanna White. I think I'm just better looking than the girls that would be presenting. Anyway, okay. I'm not gonna tell you that. I'm definitely better looking than the girl presenting. Okay.
Seriously?
I know, and I'm better looking. It's a problem. Here we go. The police are not coming to arrest the rabbi. What they're doing is the police. This is the heads of the different branches of the police force in Israel. Different cities, they have like heads of the police, I guess you could call it police chief in English, that came to get a blessing from the rabbi. Now, the gentleman sitting here is Tzion David Biton. Tzion David Biton is one that was trying to get to be the head of the police in all of Israel. He was pulling for it. That was like a position and how you get elected, whatever. That's all politics. We're not going to get into it. But he was really supposedly the number one candidate. And the reason why he came to the rabbi, who's the rabbi, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, he is known across the Jewish world as probably the greatest rabbi in the world. Hands down, like, there's pretty much not an argument if you ask anyone in the observant community, like, who's the greatest rabbi in the world? 95% chance they will come and say it's Rav Chaim Kanievsky, which is unusual. It's unusual, right? In the Jewish world that we actually agree on something, right? It's a very rare case. But in our day and age, right now, it actually probably is the case that whether it's Sephardi, whether it's Ashkenazi, whether it's Hasidic, whether it be different brands, doesn't matter. You ask them, most likely they will tell you the name Rav Chaim Kanievsky.
It's
It's a known thing, right? And people go for blessings. I actually went a year ago, around this time with the kids after the last Israel trip, where it was summer LAJ from last year. I think it was your trip. We went to go visit him and get quick blessings. You basically get, half a second in there. He says to you the famous statement, which is called bua. He shortens his words to such an extreme that the blessing is even an acronym. You don't know what bua means, right? It means it's an acronym for bracha v'atzlacha. So he says that because there's a minimum amount of time in the day, a minimum amount of what you can do. So when someone comes to say, he just says, they'll present and say bua. Bua is much quicker than bracha v'atzlacha. Right? Everyone following? What?
How's it?
It does. Don't ask questions. We'll see in a second.
Right?
So yeah, exactly. So anyway, so the heads of the police got probably about a minute. You'll see 30 seconds of it. So this is what transpired, right? So this guy is really there, and he's going to be the head of the police, and going to be this one right here. And he's striving to get a position as the head of the police, and he's coming for a blessing. Here we go. Okay, so... So, here we... Here's my turn. There's a mess up.
Come on, Danny.
David Bitan.
Is it 58 seconds now?
Yeah, it will start out. Okay, here we go. I'll just let you see it, and then we'll see what happens. You hear what he said? He said, Ata Kohen. Listen. Now watch his face. He's thinking, right? Okay, so what happened? Everyone see that? One more time. I'm gonna describe it and then see just the facial. You don't have to understand the language. You have to understand the question. I'm gonna play it one more time. I'm just gonna describe to you what happened. So, huh? You don't see it? The rabbi is obviously the real old one right there. Okay. Right. He's right. He's right there. So, anyway, so what is he saying? What does he say? He's saying is give this guy a blessing. He came special. Please come and give him a blessing. And so the rabbi immediately asked, is he a Kohen?
I heard that.
Is he a Kohen? So the people were like looking around, kind of like, okay, maybe he's a little bit old. I can think what's going in these people's brains, like, oh, come on, I guess the old rabbi is getting really senile. And even this is his grandson. His grandson says, no, he's not a Kohen. He's not a Kohen, because now he's just, because you see there's kind of like silence there, and he's not responding, right? So there's like silence, so the grandson kind of is like, steps in and is like, no, he's not a Kohen. His name's David Bitan. He's coming for a bracha. Give him a bracha. And then he just kind of sits there quietly and it doesn't respond. And they said, again, third time, like, oh no, he came for like a personal blessing. Just give him a blessing. And again, you see him like not respond right away. And then he says, bracha v'atzlacha lekulam. I give you a blessing for success to everyone. Meaning, not the guy, but everyone. Everyone should have a blessing. Everyone should have a blessing. You hear that?
I don't get it.
You'll get it in 1 second. You'll get it in 1 second. Ready? One more time just to see the video. Just to see the video. Okay, guys. Here we go.
David Bitan, dopo che l'avevamo fatto.
Bracha l'kulam. Everyone should have a blessing. Amen. And everyone says amen, right?
Yes.
The guy never got the position. The guy never got the position. And the person who became what's called mafkal, the person who became the head of the police, his name is?
Cohen.
Mati Cohen. Mati Cohen. Which happened four months later. Right? So this guy, whatever, they came out some stuff about him and this and politics this, and his nominee got expelled, and the person who became the head of the police, his name is Mati Cohen.
Well, it's like a 50% chance in Israel.
wait. Let's I'll give you one more story about him, and then we'll finish In the end, this part I mentioned over Shabbat. There's one other story that there's multiple stories about this. I'll tell you one more now, and then maybe one at the end. The same rabbi was approached by someone. The story goes like this. There was a person driving in New York, an observant person, and he stopped at a rest area. It was pretty late at night. He was a little bit tired. You know, it was a rainy, kind of foggy night, and he stopped at the rest area to get a little bit to wake himself up on his drive. He was going to the Catskills, where observant Jews go for in the summer. And you know, he was working in the city, meaning his family. Anyway, he's driving late, and he gets out of the rest area, and he pulls out and he starts to drive. As he's starting to drive, again, it's kind of dark and rainy and foggy at the same time. All of a sudden, as he's pulling away from one car, he hits a person. And he immediately stops, gets out of his car, and he's like in shock. It's an older man, and he's besides himself. He calls 911. He calls the Jewish version of 911. He gets him. He tries to get the guy, you know, to the hospital, and he goes and he rushes there. Long story short, this really old gentleman dies, and he was killed, obviously, in that. By him hitting him, so life got worse. He went to court. They tried to see if it was, you know, they did an investigation. They brought it, you know, on to trial. At the end of the trial, they acquitted him and said basically it wasn't his fault. It was the old man's fault. He shouldn't have walked out at that point. There was no crosswalk. It was completely dark in that area. He shouldn't have been walking in that area. It was completely the older man's fault, and he has zero blame, not even any type of manslaughter, nothing, zero. It was not his fault at all. So he got off, but as far as his soul, like, he was just tormented. Like, he was literally tormented about killing and taking another life. Again, it was not a Jewish person, but he was so besides himself about taking another human life that he couldn't continue life normally. So one of his friends said, one of his close companions, and actually his rabbi there, they from two different sources said, go to Israel, take a vacation first of all, go to Israel. And two, when you're there, why don't you go see Rav Chaim Kanievsky and tell him the story and maybe what you can do to quiet your soul, and maybe do kapara, what's called to get redemption and maybe fix up spiritually by taking another life. I said, okay, no problem. So he finally gets a meeting with Rav Chaim. He goes in there and he tells exactly what just transpired, but in a quicker version. He sat there by himself and told Rav Chaim the story, what happened. And Rav Chaim says to him, in Hebrew, basically tells him a statement that it's a statement in the Torah. remember the Amalekite to wipe them out. And that's it. And he said, Buah. Buah, bracha v'tzlacha. You should be blessed and you should have a beautiful life. Goodbye. Thank you. And that was it. He didn't say another word. The man's in shock. How does this help? What does it mean? What is the connection with the Amalekites who were our haters and tried to wipe us out and killed every man, woman, and child? What kind of business is this? He's like, his mind is racing. He has no idea what he just meant, what he said. So he said, you know what? The rabbi said, he said, I don't have to do anything because I explained to him, I came to you because I want to know what I can do with my soul and in fixing myself and what I created and killing another human being and what do I do? He said, basically that was all he said. Remember the statement of the Amalekite, you're good, buah, and goodbye. And that was it. And he was quickly, you know, they have bouncers there, otherwise people stay. So he was just quickly rushed out and that was it. When he went back to America, the widow of the older person was his second marriage. He got married later in the 70s or whatever with this woman. Called this person because she knew how hard he was taking it, because he contacted her and tried to say if anything I can help, and she. She contacted him and said, I think you should come over. I think you would want to see this. I found something in the attic. It was about 2-3 months after this guy was in that car accident, after the person was dead. So she called him over, and they were going through this box of old photos from the person. It turns out that he was an SS officer. The Jewish guy that killed the old man was an SS officer. And in it, he actually had a list of people. You know how the Germans have precise details of exactly the people that they killed? Right? There's actually a list. And you know, you can go in Yad Vashem, and there's 4 million names out of 6 million. This is 1945. This is not, you know, 2020, where we have everything in computers. They have, and it's not a coincidence why Yad Vashem has 4 million some names. It's not because the Jews kept those details, right? It's because the Nazis did. So in his diary, he also found, which was the eeriest thing, in his diary, he also found his great-grandparents, who were murdered by the Nazis and most likely murdered by this SS officer. So the rabbi who said, remember to wipe out the Amalekites, buah, we understood very clearly where he was coming up with this. Yeah. The idea of it is, again, the same idea is very clearly. The same idea is very clear. Number one, just like the video you saw, you can say, oh, that was random. There's lots of Cohens out there. Oh, that was random. He didn't want to give him a blessing, right? It was random. And the second story is clearly saying to you that there are things in this world with people that are incredible leaders amongst the Jewish people because of their knowledge, because of their depth, and because what they turn themselves into, in which is called Ruach HaKodesh. Ruach HaKodesh. Right? What is Ruach HaKodesh? What is Ruach HaKodesh? The idea of what Ruach HaKodesh is comes from, in essence, we have to go obviously to the mystical side of Torah, the mystical side of Torah, the idea that how the world was created was in essence with what we call 10 sfirot. 10 sfirot are the access of how we get from the spiritual world down to the physical world. From the spiritual world down to the physical world, right? And in it is the basic understanding of, listen, how is it that you have something spiritual and you have something physical? The two don't combine. In idea, in thought, the concept is like this. If something is spiritual, in essence, Hashem, we're talking about for lack of a better term, there's no way to describe it, but we can only describe what it's not. We can't describe God, in essence, because you can't put anything, in essence, on Hashem. There's not a boundary. Definition means, in Hebrew, actually, you'll understand, because how do you say definition in Hebrew? Hagdarah. Hagdarah means, ligdor means to fence in. Once you fence something in, once you define it, it becomes limited. Mm-hmm. It becomes limited. Once it's limited, once something is limited, now it's by definition what? Not God. It's limited, right? If God is what Jewish definition is the opposite of limited, which is, and again, in a bad terminology in our world, infinite, right? Because it doesn't really mean infinite. But in our terminology, infinite means outside of boundary. So by definition, we cannot define Hashem. And therefore, by definition, you cannot define spirituality, because it's outside of the boundary of life. Everyone following me? So you have a contradiction. You have a contradiction in terms, in essence. If something is physical, it's what?
Non-spiritual.
It's limited. It's bounded. It's defined. It's physical. It can be put. You can put it into a category, and therefore it's not infinite. So it's impossible. The big contradiction is, how do you have infinite and what? Finite in the same element. Right? How do you have infinite and finite in the same element? If we exist, which we know we're here, right? You pinch, right? You're here. This is real. This is not a dream, right? We're actually sitting here. Some people might be dreaming that by now from me talking enough, right? But we're really not. We're here. We're physical presence. If we're a physical presence, where are we in the infinite? It doesn't make sense. It does. It's a contradiction. It doesn't make sense. It cannot make sense in our brain. Right? Why? Again, one more time. If we're here, we're physical, we are now, where are we in the infinite?
Our soul.
You can make terms, but you're what about your body? Your body is also, you're not just souls, right? We're not sitting here all spiritual souls flying around. We just had some nice meat, which we'll discuss in a second, right? I promised you how we tie in sausages with this also. Anyway, that's going to be the biggest trick, right? Anyway, it's not only that you're going to eat the rest of the sausage. Okay, anyway. Yeah, I forgot the beer. I actually have extra beer I wanted to bring. Thank you. It's already too late. Okay, after we're done, I'll bring out the beer. So thank you for reminding me. I wish you would have told me this a half hour, 45 minutes ago. Thank you very much. Okay, anyway. So again, where are we inside the infinite is already a contradiction in terms. Because if we are physically somewhere there, that means it's now physical. is everyone following me? Like, if we are here, the world is here, the universe is here. Go as far as you want out to the stars and that. Where? Let's go a light year away. Let's go to outside the Milky Way. Go as far as you want. That's still physicality. It's still within space. It's still within time. It's still within a boundary. Therefore, we are now saying it's impossible to get to that place where Hashem is, because it's outside of boundary. And therefore, we are physical. There is a major contradiction. It cannot be that we exist, quote unquote, inside of the infinite. Because therefore, the infinite wouldn't be
infinite.
The infinite. There would be a place where we exist inside the infinite, which would make it physical. To that much, are we comprehending? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Therefore, this doesn't necessarily solve the contradiction, because it's going to give you a whole bunch of terms. How do we, in quote, by the way, this is some of the deepest mystical concepts, and I'm not claiming that I understand it, right? I just understand maybe the contradiction, but I don't understand the answer. The answers are the following. I'm going to throw it out, and then we're not going to deal with it because I don't understand it, right? The answer is God basically created a structure from that point to go from pure spirituality, which is outside of boundary. There's no boundary. There's no term. There's no definition. There's no, it's everything, right? Again, one idea of anyone that's a mathematical head, if you say like, right, a ray goes to eternity, right? If you just point a ray, it just goes this way, and a ray goes that way, right? It goes out, in math, you say it goes out to infinity, right? Anyone remember in math, it goes out to infinity. So let's press pause on that ray. Did it hit infinity yet?
No.
In English, in our terminology, a ray is not infinite. That's not God. Because when you think, I don't know, I tell you infinite, so you think of rays. It just goes out. It's just endless space and keeps going and going. Uh-uh. It's not true. Because when you press pause right now on a ray, it's still within space. It's still within time. It hasn't reached eternity. What it is it's going out. Sorry, it hasn't reached infinite. It's going out eternal. It's just it keeps going, but it's within time and space. Again, we'll leave that for now, but that's if you understood that math part. So how did God create this world? And in essence, what is the answer to this that no one, well, I shouldn't say no one, that I definitely don't understand, is that there was levels created in this world, different levels. And those are called Sfirot. Sfirot are mystical, Kabbalistic, 10 levels of creation, right, of the world and how it was created, right? And it goes all the way from what is Hashem and what's called the chariot and what's called infinite aspect of where God is down to the next level, 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 down to the bottomless rung. That's the 10th bottom step. And then you get us and the finite world. Okay. So we're not going to talk about those 10 steps because, you know, we could, but we could all pretend we're dreaming, right? And I can pretend to tell you how it was all made, which I can give you the analogy, but again, at least for now, until we light some candles and it's not midnight yet, so we won't go delving into that. And Madonna didn't come yet, so it's fine. So we won't talk about it yet. The idea though of these 10 steps are actually real. If a person breaks through them, in essence, they are set up. Think about this. It is set up as what? Barriers in life. These are barriers. What are the barriers? What is the barriers? The analogy that I once heard The analogy that I once heard that just clicked in my mind. Now, this is when I was myself studying in Israel, right? The analogy that I once heard that is this is if you go behind, right? If you go behind the curtains, if you set up curtains, let's say you set up 10 different curtains, and then you set up a dimmer, right? This has a dimmer over there. You set it up and you dim the light and you dim the light more and more and more and more and more and more. But the light is dimmed only why? Not because it's on a dimmer. It's dimmed by the curtains. Everyone following? So once you rip past one curtain, what happens?
It's brighter.
It gets a little brighter. You rip past the next one. Brighter, next one, brighter, next one, brighter, next one, brighter, next one, brighter, until you rip off the last curtain, and what? You get to the light. You actually get to the light. And in essence, that is the purpose of creation. How do we know? Because one of the deepest Kabbalists, he says here, he brings down a famous passage in the Talmud. The famous passage in the Talmud says like this, that there is a ladder that one of the great rabbis stated. There's a ladder. And what is that ladder? Pinchas ben Yair was the rabbi, and he stated there is this type of ladder in life. That he says that Torah brings about carefulness. Carefulness brings around alacrity. Alacrity is someone that acts quickly. Alacrity goes to cleanliness, being clean. From cleanliness, you move to separation. From separation, you go to purity. From purity, you go to righteousness. From righteousness, you go to humbleness. From humbleness, you go to a real awe and fear, in quotes, not fear, but more of an awe of the heavens. From the awe of the heavens comes real, true holiness. From holiness goes to Ruach HaKodesh, goes to a level of understanding of the world. Ruach HaKodesh literally means spirit of divine. But what it means is what? You're getting to the light. Everyone following me? Right? You're getting to the light. And then finally, from Ruach HaKodesh, that's not even the last step. It brings to being able to get to bringing up the dead or putting in spiritual essence into what is no longer animate, right? So that's the ultimate light. But we'll leave that for a time when, again, that I don't know how to do it and I don't know what I'm talking about. So we'll leave that for when maybe 10 years from now, 15 years from now. Okay, anyway, the idea of there's a process that we're trying to achieve and trying to get to in life. And with this process, this famous passage in the Talmud, the Kabbalist Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, who writes what's called The Path of the Just, tells you step by step by step by step. This entire book is exactly the steps how to achieve what? Divine inspiration. This whole book is based exactly on that ladder that which we achieved. It's only to get to there. It's only to get to there. And what does he say? He says like this. This is how he starts. The source of all work in this world, that it should become clear with every person, that you should have a clarity. You should have a clarity. What is this clarity? Again, this is to clean out our brains. He's coming to you very straight. What is your purpose of this in this world? He's saying to the first statement in his book, what are you here for? What are you doing in this world? People are like, I don't know, maybe, you know, have a good career, make a family, be a little bit happy, you know, I don't know, watch the football game, you know, do do nice things in the world. Like, what are you here for? He comes to a very straight. It should come very clear. And a person should realize with a clarity that it becomes an essence, such a perfected idea in their life. Ma chovato be'olamo. What is your obligation in this world? What are you here for? What's your obligation? And what is the point of putting all your direction and understanding in this? That every person should know what is he here working for in his life? What are you here for in life? What's the purpose? And he says, it's only that it's brought down by our sages that a person was only created to enjoy what? A closeness and a clarity to Hashem. That's what you're here for. That's what you're put in this world for. And to enjoy, listen to this Kabbalistic idea. To enjoy from the ray of the essence of Hashem. To enjoy from the rays and the essence of Hashem, which sounds very lofty and like, what does that mean? Rays of Hashem and presence, right? That this is, in essence, everyone should know that this is the ultimate pleasure. And this is the greatest pleasure that a person can achieve, that he's able to find in the entire planet. There's nothing greater. So in essence, what is it? What are you here for? In giving the analogy, going back to the analogy of what we discussed, what are you here for? What is your purpose? What is your goal? It is to break through all of those curtains. All of those curtains that are set up. The same model of how the world was created, the entire planet, is exactly how a person is set up. It says the Talmud, a person is a miniature version of the world. It's a nice statement. I think it was actually maybe it was brought down what is that movie by Steven Spielberg, the famous one that's with the Holocaust? Schindler's List. Right? Yeah, I think he made it famous, the comment, but I think that was the second part that they left out. It's actually not in the movie. It just said that if you save a person, I think the statement was, if you save a person, you save an entire world. The first part of that is exactly what I just said, that a person is a miniature world. That's the Talmud says, a person's a miniature world. What is a miniature world? A miniature universe. The universe as you were created, just as the universe was created, with multiple layers within it, with darkness and essence of what? With certain boundaries set up, with the exact 10 levels of boundaries that were set up, you inside of yourself were also set up with those boundaries. Problem is what? Most of the people in this world go through and never realize that. Never understand what their purpose is. Never understand what they're here for. Never understand that they're here to work to remove these boundaries to be able to achieve a presence and a connection of clarity of all of life in this world. You and every single one of you here, including myself, including everyone, have that same purpose and same goal. Yet our destination of what we need, what the curtains that are there in front of us, is obviously everyone is different. The path is the same. Everyone has to achieve carefulness. Everyone has to achieve, you know, what's called zrizut, right? Alacrity, but like moving quickly in life. Everyone has to achieve the ability of cleaning ourselves. Everyone has to achieve purity. Everyone has to achieve holiness. Everyone. It's incumbent on everyone. How we do it, every single one of you are a world unto yourself. What you need to do and what I need to do are two different things. What you need to do and what the person next to you needs to do are two different things. Each and every single one of you have that plan of how to achieve that ultimate level, that highest goal, that highest purpose. That's what you've been put in this world for. That is what you're here for. That is the understanding of what you're doing. And how that fits in actually is, I give you the bottom rung. The bottom rung, at least we can start with the bottom one, right? Is it's called Yesod. The last level of creation is called Yesod. Last level of creation is called Yesod, which means it is the most basic aspect of the animal instinct. The animal instinct. What does the animal instinct want? What are two things that we want?
Hot dog and buns.
In a slang, yes, hot dog and buns. Correct.
Oh, I didn't mean it like that. I'm just trying to help you.
Avi, man. I appreciate it, Avi. But you helped me a lot.
You helped me a lot.
In the most rudimentary slang, that is exactly it. It is the element of the base desire. It's the element for sex and the aspect of food. Two most base desires that are is the lowest rung that a person has to not become celibate and go and become a monk or become a priest or become any of these crazy ideas from the non-Jews. Wrong. It is being able to transform the element and use it for what the purpose is in life. So what are we not supposed to eat? Hot dogs? Let me just give the basic example of a hot dog. When a person says Rav Chaim Vital, which was one of the greatest Kabbalists of the modern generation, lived like 300 years ago, he was part of, if you guys, anyone went to the mikvah of the Arizal, he was a student of the Arizal. He was the student. And he says an incredible thing. Think about what we're doing. Going back to what we just talked about, what are you here for in this world? What's the purpose? What's the goal? To rip the curtains, rip off the curtains, rip them off until you get to the light, until you expose the light and it exposes you because the light changes you inside. Once you go up every level, it's not, okay, I got to the next level. It's not like the video game. Okay, Zelda, I got to the next stage, and you're the same Zelda. No, you're transforming yourself as you're moving up the levels. You are becoming a changed person. It is transforming you to be a greater individual. Right? So how, says Rav Chaim Vital, how do you eat a sausage? How do you eat a sausage and become a greater individual? It's impossible, right? You're putting a piece of meat that's like, you know, this thing is going to weigh you down. It's going to make you more physical. It's your desire. I want meat, right? I want meat. I want more food. I want to stuff myself. What do you want? It's something that's just gonna. It's your to your most base desire, and obviously that same thing you can use your imaginations for the other desire, right? It's the same idea. I want this. I want to, and it's a total animalistic base desire. I want it, and I want it now. I'm hungry. I need it. Feed me. And yet, Rav Chaim Vital says there's a way to unlock the light that's in here. How do you do it? When you say a blessing, when you say the blessing, he says, Rav Chaim Vital, when you say the blessing and you focus on, for example, the meat, and the end words is Shakol Nyeh Bedvaro, that everything shall be in the way that it Dvaro, in his words, how it was created. The world was created in it with words. This will be with how Hashem intended. Put in the aspect of the higher soul, the higher element within everything. Shakol Nyeh Bedvaro, how he created the world. When you make that blessing and you eat it, you're unlocking the light inside of it. That which was created in this world. That spirituality that was put in the hot dog. Sorry, I hope someone can still eat this, even though I touched it. Right? My hands are clean.
Are they?
Yes, they are. Once you unlock that energy inside of it. Thank you. Once you unlock the energy inside of it, once you unlock the energy inside of it, it elevates you. You're able to elevate the experience of even eating. Right? On a more basic level, I think everyone can understand that when a couple is married, and in Jewish terms, Friday night, a couple together sharing what the element of the relationship should be, two couples giving over to each other because they are in love with each other and they want to show that love in a physical manner, show that caring and show the giving. Remember how to go back to that definition, but the idea of wanting to give over to the other person in every aspect of life, so now I'm giving over to that person in a physical way, that the sages say is what's called Kodesh Kadoshim, the Holy of Holies, reaching the highest elements. Because it's Friday night and you're fulfilling your purpose and your role, giving over to another person that you want to give over to. And that element, that's unlocking what? Unlocking the light. That's bringing out that physical nature which you are here in that most base place and elevating it and bringing it to what it was created for. And in essence, unlocking that other curtain and ripping it down and breaking through the light of what Hashem is in this world. So our purpose, our goal, is to go through these steps, is to go through these rungs, and everyone has it. Again, it's all generic, quote-unquote. Really? Everyone has to go through all these different points? Everyone has to go through all the things that I just mentioned? The answer is yes, you do. But what's the concept? Every single one of us, how we go through and what our challenges is and what that aspect in the base desire, in the aspect of achieving cleanliness, of achieving spiritual cleanliness, of removing our thoughts, our negativity, our toxicity. How we do that? Everyone has different toxic thoughts. Some has problems with jealousy. Some people have problems with anger. Some people have negative feelings towards themselves. Some people have low self-esteem. Yes, that's a part of it. But it's in that category of achieving cleanliness, quote-unquote spiritual cleanliness. It's removing the toxicity within ourselves. And of course, everyone has their own challenge in that. But that's how you're created. That's what you're here in this world to do. And that is the purpose. And in essence, a person that is being able to get to such a level and that is continuing to change themselves and grow and develop and get to that higher rung gets all the way to what? Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration. And you can see an example. I showed you one. A person that is fully involved in trying to achieve different rungs and working to the next stage, and working to the next stage all of their life, we see it, it happens, they exist, you can do it. Now, should everyone become Rav Chaim Kanievsky? No, that's not our purpose, that's not what we're here for. But every single one of you can achieve that higher rung. You can achieve the next level. You can achieve the next step that you have to do because that's what your purpose is. Remember, it's not an elective. Look at the language that Rav Chaim Moshe Luzzatto, the great Kabbalist, uses. It's your what? Obligation. That's what you're put in this world to do. And a lot of people want to skirt it. They want to be on their phone. They want to be on Facebook. They want to be on this. They want to just party and have a good time in life, right? That's an aspect of running away from our obligation. But in essence, remember what the language, it's such a beautiful language. What is the most pleasurable activity? Pleasure, he's talking about pleasure. Pleasurable activity. The most pleasurable activity is if you can get to removing your toxicity, if you can get to removing your boundaries of what negativity that holds you back in life, if you can get to removing the elements that make you into an animal, I'll meet. But no, let me you know, control myself and be able to really enjoy the food, but really recognize the source of where it's coming from. Or I can really have an experience with my wife in the future and not be worried about my personal physical pleasure, but worry about achieving a real bond and connection and showing true love in a real relationship. That is real pleasure. That's real pleasure. Don't tell me that going out and partying and hanging out and getting this and getting that and being all cool and suave and doing, you know, what the rockin', you know, Hollywood party at the Grammys is like or the Oscars is like, and wow, wouldn't I love to be there? The answer is hell no. Because that's the lowest, lowest. That's not pleasure. That's a level to get to toxicity. It may be fun, but it's not pleasure. It's not real pleasure. And ask any one of those people that are there. Ask them the next night or the two nights after or a week after when they're thinking, oh, am I the most popular person? Do I still look good like this? Do I still like this? Ask them. How are they doing in life? Are they happy? Are they living real pleasure? The answer is no. So stop really chasing that. Get that out of your brain. It's nonsense. It's not real pleasure. This is what real pleasure is. It's a clarity of life, of understanding what your purpose is, what your goal is, really understanding how to really enjoy life. That's the greatest. And that's the greatest pleasure. That's what he's saying. It's the greatest pleasure. It's not being living on a mountain and being aesthetic and not being involved at all in life. That's not what it's about.
8 million Twitter followers. That's what it's about.
And they're still miserable because they don't have 8 million one and they're thinking about what the other one has and what this has and maybe I'm not as popular as that one and all that stupidity. I think everyone intuitively knows it, so get it out of our system. We don't want that. That's not what we want. It's not what we're chasing. It's false. It's a false world.